Our Palm Sunday liturgy is framed by two famous and infamous expressions. The first is Hosanna, which was shouted at the beginning of Mass. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The second is crucify him, which we just shouted with the crowd in front of Pontius Pilate. Hosanna and crucify him. At first glance, no two expressions could seem more opposed. But when we confront them in faith, we recognize that they're not opposed at all. For the Messiah who rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on a donkey amidst waving palms, shouts, and adulation freely decided to mount the throne of the cross. The cross, therefore, was not a sign of humiliation and ignominy in contrast to the palm branches. But they were it's the fulfillment of the messianic hopes these palm branches proclaim. It is to that glorious tree of the cross that our palm branches all point. For on that cross, Jesus was ultimately gloriously enthroned and inaugurated the messianic kingdom that will know no end. This Holy Week, which we have now just begun, will oscillate between these two related poles of great joy of those outside the southwestern walls entering from Bethany into Jerusalem, and the great sadness outside the northwestern walls on the hill of Calvary. But we will not really capture the meaning of these events for us unless we recognize that the story of this Holy Week in Jerusalem, the story we proclaim in today's Gospels, is not just a memory. It's not just an historical event that we commemorate. Rather, it's a living story that beckons us to enter. You probably remember the famous scene in the Old Testament. After David, Jesus' 28th generation grandfather, had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed, God sent Nathan the prophet to convict David of his sins. Nathan told the story of a rich man who, even though he had many flocks and herds, decided to kill the ewe lamb of his poor neighbor, which outraged David and got him to will just vengeance. At which point, Nathan shocked David by saying, "You are that man." During our listening to the Passion of the Lord, we might be tempted to become outraged against Judas, who accounted Jesus less valuable than 30 silver pieces, against Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands of the crucifixion of a man he knew was innocent, of Peter, who protested with bravado, "Even if I should have to die for you, I would never betray you," then went out and three times denied even knowing who Jesus was, of Herod, who mocked Jesus and tried to use him as a punching bag, of the soldiers who stood by and joined in the ridicule, and of so many others. But God, through the church, gives us this story and then says to us, like Nathan told David, "You are that man. You are Judas. You are Peter. You are Pilate." There have been great debates throughout the centuries about who was ultimately responsible for the death of the Lord. Some said the Jews did it. Others, Pontius Pilate and the Romans did it. Some said both. But the Second Vatican Council, clearly basing herself on the traditional understanding from St. Paul's letter in the earliest days of the church, said that even though clearly some of the Jewish leaders and Roman authority played a part, we killed Jesus by our sins. Jesus died not just for the Jews' sins and the Roman sins. He died for your sins and my sins. Thus, if we're really going to understand what the terrible consequences of our sins have had, and if we're ever going to be able to experience the extraordinary joy of Easter that rescued us eternally from those sins, then we need to enter into these events and recognize that I, that you, that we have betrayed the Lord, and that we killed him. That when we were given a choice between Jesus and Barabbas over and over and over again, we have said, give us Barabbas. And to ask for Barabbas is to crucify the Lord. We might have thought that Barabbas was this really looking, good-looking girl as we were watching pornography. We might not have realized that in choosing to surf the web and see stuff that we should never look at, we were saying, crucify the Lord. We might not have thought that when we retaliated with vengeance against that sister-in-law who always knows exactly that right word to drive us nuts, that we were saying, release unto me Barabbas. We might not have thought that when we were making a crib sheet and choosing to cheat in school, that what we were doing was piling it on. But that's the choice we were making. Hence, during the holiest of weeks, when we keep our eyes firmly fixed on the characters we encounter, we have to recognize that we're not just looking at others, because over the course of our life, we have acted similar to the way they did, and our actions have had the same consequences as theirs. But that's not the end of the story. God, through the church, doesn't stop merely by pointing out Judas and Peter and Pilate, Herod and the others. We also encounter Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, the Blessed Mother, Simon of Cyrene, the Roman centurion, St. John, faithful there on Calvary, and the others. And the church says to us again, you are that man. We are Mary Magdalene on our better days, faithful to the Lord to the end. We are Simon of Cyrene by our cross, and by helping others bear their cross, help Jesus carry his. We are the centurion proclaiming Jesus, even when we might suffer at school or at work, that you are truly the Son of God. We will meet these characters as well as these days in this holiest of weeks, tiptoe toward their climax. And we need to identify with them too. But there's one other person that God the Father points to. He beholds his beloved Son on the cross and says to us, you are that man. This is an unbelievable reality, that we are meant to be other Christs, that we are supposed to allow Christ's own life to dwell within us. And not just priests in the sacraments are called to act in persona Christi, but as the saints have said throughout the centuries, we are all supposed to be other Christ, Christ himself in the midst of the world. When we proclaim Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we should be coming and going in the name of the Lord. But astride that true shout, when we are living in holy communion with Jesus, there is another one, and it's not easy to hear. And that one is, crucify you. Christ called each of us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. And we're called to follow in his footsteps until our own footsteps themselves become bloodied and maybe even hammered to a tree. But as Christ, as with Christ, this suffering, the suffering experienced by the martyrs in every age, is not meant to be just humiliating or ignominious. It is meant, like his suffering, to be glorifying. Because as we proclaim in faith, it is by dying with Christ that we rise. This truth, this Christian calling, might scare us. It might intimidate us. But there's good news. For we've already done this before. Or it was done to us, probably before any of us was conscious. On the glorious day of our baptism, we were baptized into the death of the Lord. We died in the font, rising from spiritual death as members of his crucified and risen body. We already bear in us the result of our baptism into his death and resurrection. This Holy Week, as we prepare for this Easter, we're called once more to enter into the Paschal mystery that literally began in us on that holiest day of our life. We are called ultimately to say with St. Paul in truth, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me, not just the human race, who loved me and gave his life for me. That's why we're able to say, as St. Paul says, I will boast, I will brag about nothing else in all of human life except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This is the strength that St. Paul says is specific to us as believers. That to the world the cross is foolishness and a stumbling block, but to those who are called, it becomes the power and the wisdom of God. And this week is the week in which that power and wisdom is fully unleashed. There's no better place to start our ascent to Calvary in Christ crucified and risen than here at Mass. In the Mass, we celebrate Palm Sunday and Calvary all together in one. We will again shout and sing in just a few minutes, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the Lord, in name of the Lord. Benedictus qui venit in nomine Domini. We will again mount Calvary when we will not just be witnesses, but participants in the very same death of the Lord for us and our salvation out of love. And we will gain an entrance to that eternal banquet in the presence of all God's holy angels and saints, where we hope forever to behold the Lamb looking as if he has been slain in that kingdom won for us by the very death and resurrection we celebrate now and enter into this week. May God bless you all.